We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse, a little pop-up tent Friday episode. This will actually have some legs to it. I want to catch everybody up on the Brewers with what's been happening with the umpire situation. Got to hang out with Tim Shea this week. I had a big week. I hung out with Tim Shea on Wednesday. I hung out with Chuck Freeman on Tuesday. Oh, what a week it was. I hung out with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Bucks postgame show a little bit on 1250. So I get to see all my old chums and mates. It's been a good week in that regard. Not a good week in the regard of the Bucks. So we'll talk some Brewers at the end. We'll talk some Packers in the middle. I've got some sound from Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur as I try to figure out a little bit more about who these guys are that we drafted and also where they're going to slot in. So some thoughts on that coming up today. And then the main thing is I want to start with the Bucks. And I know that I've basically already done two shows eulogizing this Bucks season and looking ahead towards the future. If you can catch any of those, they're on YouTube, they're on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We did a post-game show after one of the games the other night, and then the episode with Paul and Grant. We kind of really sunk our teeth into what changes can be made, and that'll be the topic of conversation. I think Giannis, 100%, he's not going anywhere. Dame is 99.999. Chris, maybe a wild card. But I think, you know, watching him be so dejected, he's part of this. I don't want to see him not be part of this. Everybody else is kind of fair game. You know, whether it's Bobby Portis or Brooke Lopez or Pat Beverly, who made up for not getting that foul call by throwing a ball at a fan. I mean, that was a hard throw. That was a look. A hard throw. 128-98, the final between the Pacers and the Bucks. What sucks about this one? Well, where do I begin? It was nice that Dame was back. It was nice that we got to do a whole day of, is Dame playing? Is Giannis playing? I saw this. I heard this. That was kind of nice. Kind of fun. Kind of reinvigorated things a little bit. And then, boom, 5:30 start time, a little happy hour, you know, get it going, sink your teeth into a night. So that was kind of fun. And then they kind of had a lead right away, and Bobby had this face. I was like, okay, baby, we might be doing this tonight. We might be playing on Saturday night. And then the Pacers took over pretty quick and didn't let up. And what you saw was the others step up. Obi Toppin with 21 off the bench, career high. TJ McConnell, 20 points off the bench. You got guys like Bill Simmons tweeting that. That's what I love. You watch this game as a casual observer. Yes, I did say that. Because it's a pregame for Knicks Sixers. And you're like, oh, this is fun. Oh, look at that. Bucks suck. A lot of people are going to look at this game and say Bucks suck. And I still think while there may be changes, I still don't think you can do any grand assessment of this team when you saw them in a playoff series without Giannis. If the Denver Nuggets played in the first round without Nikola Jokic and they got beat by the Lakers, nobody would be saying fire Michael Malone, trade Aaron Gordon, get rid of Michael Porter Jr. Nobody would be saying any of that kind of stuff. But they're going to with the Bucks because Giannis never left, so everybody grades us on a curve because they're mad at us. And then we got Doc Rivers, who's so easy to be a punching bag, and then it just amplifies it. People are going to say this loss was on Doc. It wasn't. this loss, it was not on Doc. What, should he play Andre Jackson Jr. more? Okay, should he play AJ Green more? What was that going to give you? They weren't going to win this game. Would it have been better if they lost game five? No, you always, you know, want a chance. And at least this win six, and it kind of feels like, hey, we were in the playoffs, unlike the Brewers. It's just like, oh, they lose, they're done. The night itself sucks. I think the thing that bothers me, and I always go this way, but it is what bothers me the most, is I was screaming at my house about Tyrese Halliburton, and my wife saw, and she's like, you always have a person on the other team that you despise. I go, I don't want to. I don't want it to be this way. I just want to watch a series and be like, they were good, we were good. But everybody always, there's always that one person, and it should have been TJ McConnell or Obi Toppin tonight. And maybe it was. But throughout this series, it was TJ or Tyrese Halliburton. Here's the difference about that. When the Bucks have lost in these series, what pissed us off in the Raptors series? Fred VanVleet, who was not a star then or worth a big contract at that time. He was a guy that should not have... Norm Powell, right? The Boston Celtics, Grant Williams or Al Horford. Certainly fine players, but not the centerpiece of their team. With Miami Heat last year, it wasn't so much Tyler Hero or Jimmy Butler. It was Duncan Robinson. You know, it's these kind of guys. These kind of fifth or sixth or seventh guys on the roster that all of a sudden pop off against the Bucks. Those are the guys that we usually shift towards and we usually hate. In this series, it had to be Tyrese Halliburton. And yeah, there's Wisconsin ties, and you know, I'm not saying that he should take it easy on the Bucks, but he is the star of that team. That's the difference. The star of the team, even if he didn't play like it every night, the star of the team is the one that we hate the most. And that was the difference with this series. These Pacer fans, like, they're charged up. Basketball's good right now in Indiana. They got Caitlin Clark coming. It's just, they haven't won a series in a while. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be happy. I'm not saying that. But a lot of the way that they react, I'm watching some of these highlights as they have the box score up. React like that at the end of the game. Do the bye-byes at the end. Do the claps. Do all that stuff. Do the, baby, Hulk out at the end. You're doing that shit in the first quarter. It's obnoxious. It's unbecoming. And I do think the Knicks or the Sixers, looks like the Knicks. I don't know. I'm recording this before my show on Infinity Sports. Oh, that should be fun. Talking about the Bucks. Maybe I just won't. Maybe I won't mention the game at all. Maybe that's what I should do. But it just sucks. It just sucks. I do think whoever wins the other series is going straight to the Eastern Conference Finals. And we thought that about the Heat last year. And now I got to sit here and root against a team that I don't, like, coming into this postseason, I the Pacers and the Bucks had their scuffle, but I don't think about them. That's what I get tired of. It's not this moment. This moment's hard, but it's not this moment that's going to stick with me. It's, we're going to see this team a bunch. Now, you can maybe not watch the playoffs. I kind of can't. But we still will, because we're gonna want to watch the playoffs. We're going to want to see them lose. We're going to want to see them get punked. We're going to want to see them get embarrassed. We're going to want to see them have done to them what we couldn't do to them. We're going to want to see that. And it's just frustrating. And so I won't be happy now until they lose. Yeah, all right. We are brought to you by Happy Place Hemp, happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART, 25% off each and every order. You can go to the website and order directly from there and use the promo code. Put BART in at checkout. It gets you 25% off. Free shipping on pretty much all of it. The seltzers, you'll have to order a couple, I think three packs to get free shipping, but they've got the new seltzers teaming up with 1840 Brewing. They've got the Delta 9s up to 35 mg. They got the CBD CBN gummies, which a lot of people have told me have really kind of changed their whole night routine in a good way. They got the sample packs if you want to try that. The pet tinctures have helped some of these older animals. There's a lot of good that people have found that the CBD and maybe the THC can do for them. You can check them out in Muskego or, again, happyplacehemp.com. Promo code BART. Either way, 25% off every order that you ever order with them. So it kind of stinks. You know, with my kid, after the Packers lost, I told him they don't play again until after the summer ends, just to put it in context for him. And now with the Bucks, I got to tell him, not that he gives a shit, but I got to tell him that they don't play again until after Halloween. And then, you know, we'll have new players and we'll have new whatever. But I just, it sucks having to go through this again to just get back to this point. And then when we get to this point, someone's always fucking hurt. It sucks. This sucks. Sucks. All right. So some thoughts on the Bucks there. I'll switch gears. I'll talk some Brewers coming up and some Packers. Man. Sucks, sucks, sucks. We got a big Brewers series this week, too. Brewers Cubs. So hopefully that doesn't continue to make us go crazy. This is Into the Winklerverse, part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Appreciate your time here. More coming up.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Another thing I wanted to do this morning was just kind of catch myself up on and get everybody caught up on, if you're not, some of these draft picks with the helps of our friends Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur that were selected by the Green Bay Packers. Packers had 8 total selections when all was said and done. Did get active in the undrafted free agent class, of which I've heard of none of those guys. Well, there's a long snapper from Wisconsin. I think the Packers always should have a Wisconsin guy on their team, no matter what. I don't care what position he plays. I don't care if it's a wide receiver. I don't care. There needs to be one guy. I think we can all agree on that. So first guy they took was from Arizona, Jordan Morgan. He is an offensive lineman from Arizona. He's played guard a bunch, but he would qualify as a left tackle. And I'm not sure you're going to see him starting right away with the offensive line potentially being Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom. They've been really big on wanting to have the best 5 be the offensive line. And I think that's why some people, and this is fine, I'm not saying it's not, but some people were not too in love with the pick right away because you wanted somebody that would start, specifically a cornerback, which the Packers ignored until way late in the draft, which might ended up have working out for them as well. But they took Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, and Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur both kind of talking about it and thinking that, yeah, this guy, we want the best 5, but this guy will be a left tackle for us.
I think that's where naturally where you'd look. That's what he's played his whole career, and he's played a lot of football. So But ultimately, and I know you guys love to hear me say all the time how we're going to get the best five out there. And I think there is some cross-training that goes on along the way. But ultimately, we just got to get the best five that give us a chance to move the football.
I think if you were upset about the offensive pick and not going defense, you felt a little better with what the Packers were able to do in the second round, getting Edgerrin Cooper. He was another guy that people had looked at as a guy that, okay, what a perfect fit for the Packers in the second round. This guy was first all-team SEC last year, 84 tackles, 8 sacks for Texas A&M, 6'2", 230. Later then, they go ahead and take Javon Bullard. He is a safety out of Georgia, so another Georgia guy. Started 12 games, missed a couple in the middle of the season. But the Packers are doing something that we talk about baseball teams doing. And that is, where is the most important part of a baseball team's defense? It's up the middle. It's the catcher. It's the pitcher. It's your guys at second, your guys at short, and then it's the center fielder. And so at least for this draft, the strategy was, we got to build the inside of our defense from Brian Gutekunst.
Certainly, we had a lot of guys on the inside of our back end that can really run and hit. You know, I mean, taking the linebackers and the safeties, and you know, particularly two of the safeties that we took that can go play nickel as well. So really, just kind of fortifying the inside of our defense with guys who I think are going to help us right away, and then also some depth. So I think that's probably how we've gotten better.
So where do they slot then in terms of when are we going to see these guys on the field? It's a great question. It's something that we are, you know, going to learn. We'll see the mini camp. We'll see the preseason. There's a long way to go, but if you look at maybe an initial kind of projection on a depth chart, you're going to look at Edgerrin Cooper as somebody that has shot up the ranks. It's going to be Quay Walker and maybe Edgerrin Cooper. Now, Tyron Hopper is another guy that they drafted a little bit later. They drafted Tyron Hopper in the third round, so they were really looking at these guys. I probably could have lumped him in with those guys as well. Second team all SEC, finalist for the Butkus Award with Missouri. And you might see in terms of linebacker overall, just an overall, Quay is going to be a part of that. Edgerrin Cooper is going to be a part of that. Isaiah McDuffie, maybe Tyron Hopper. So those of you with Eric Wilson stock and Christian Welch stock, you're like, who, what? Are those any more worth wild than actual Packer stock? But you'll probably see both of those guys. I mean, it's a second round pick, third round pick. You'll probably see them not just make the team, but contribute in some way. Now with the safety, they drafted a bunch of safeties. They took a lot of cracks at safety, whether it's Xavier McKinney in the offseason. Javon Bullard is probably going to line up as your second safety. Anthony Johnson Jr. from a year ago, Evan Williams, Oladapo they drafted as well. So they drafted three safeties. They went heavy on safeties throughout the draft, which they needed to do. Some would think, well, why didn't they also do that at cornerback? As I jump around a little bit, why didn't they also do that at cornerback? I think a lot of us were in love with Cooper DeJean right away from Iowa. Eventually goes to the Eagles in a day two trade up. But they got Kalen King out of Penn State, and I know that's going to trigger a lot of people because Kalen King sounds like Kevin King, and that is weird. There's no doubt about it that that is weird, and they play the same position. It is weird. But he was somebody that a year ago could have been projected as a first-round talent. Ohio State beat them pretty bad, and I don't know that they ever quite recovered from that. But he's somebody that it's very interesting when these guys fall to where they do. Every team passes on him many times, and then they get drafted, and everyone's like, oh, boy, that was a great pick. That was a great pick. Like when you do your fantasy drafts. Oh, that was a great pick. You love hearing that from your friends who have passed over this guy in every round. It's like, these people mean nothing. You're trying to beat them. Oh, great pick, great pick. Whenever the fantasy room says great pick, normally it's going to be a bad pick. But this is different because it's about Packers and not fake life football.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I think our league – is kind of there's been a long history of guys that kind of felt they were overlooked and use that as motivation to drive themselves. So hopefully that'll be the case. I didn't hear that interview, so I know he's certainly was a guy that I think expected to go higher. And as we kind of went through it, we felt very fortunate to be able to pick him where we did. He's got a really nice skill set. He played some high level football at Penn State. I think he's got some versatility too to play outside, play nickel as well. And again, I think his best football is ahead of him as well. So I think, he's a young player. He was a 3-year player coming out. Hopefully that does drive him. I think we're going to have a very competitive secondary right now, and I feel really good about that. And it's going to be fun to watch those guys kind of excel.
So obviously they have Jaire Alexander, who is without question a starting cornerback in this league, no matter what he does or we think of him or whatever. But then behind that, would these guys start on other teams? Carrington Valentine, 7th-round pick a year ago, he'll compete. Nixon, they signed him. They like him, obviously, in the return game, but also in the secondary, they like him. Eric Stokes, we can't forget about Eric Stokes. Corey Ballantyne stepped up when he needed to. And then Kalen King is going to probably slot at the back end of that or maybe push up for more time. It's a good 7th-round pick. It's a guy that there's been expectations. Gutekunst pretending like he didn't hear about those, but it's a good 7th-round pick, a guy that they are going to put time in, invest in, and it's a low-risk, high-reward type of thing. There's talent there. It didn't always work out, but there is talent there, and the Packers are going to see what they can get out of him. So to recap the draft, again, I've been bouncing around, but round one, Jordan Morgan, offensive lineman, Arizona. They go edge rusher with Edgerrin Cooper. Whether he's actually an edge rusher or not, his name's Edgerrin, and he's an edge rusher to me. 2nd round, Javon Bullard as well, the safety. 3rd round, they go running back with Marshawn Lloyd. You knew at one point they would take a running back. The Braylon Allen to Green Bay dream did not work out, but they did take a running back, and it was Marshawn Lloyd. And he's going to compete right away for that RB2. It's Matt LaFleur.
I think he's a piece that, first of all, he's big. He's 220 pounds. He's got really good speed, and I think he gives us an element out the backfield. He really showcased that the week of the Senior Bowls, especially in the one-on-one situations that he was in, and just gives us a little different flavor maybe.
So you're going to have, obviously, Josh Jacobs. You're going to have A.J. Dillon. And then you're going to have Marshawn Lloyd. Now, I know that Dillon's contract doesn't – there's a lot of wiggle room. They can flat out cut this guy and not really have any penalty. Ultimately, I think A.J. Dillon is a Packer in 2024 for the duration of the season. But that third running back, you see a Patrick Taylor, or you see who's now with the Niners, I believe. You see an Emmanuel Wilson. They will fight. They will wow us. There'll be a 60-yard run that they rip off in Game 3 of the preseason, and we're going to be like, oh, my God, is Ellis Merriweather going to make this team? Well, he's not. It will be Josh Jacobs. It will be Marshawn Lloyd. And I'm pretty sure A.J. Dillon will also make the team. I would bet on that if I had to. That three of a running back room. They've got, not to be Mike McCarthy, but they've got a lot invested in A.J. Dillon. I just think that there is a role for A.J. Dillon that a lot of teams would want. There's a role for A.J. Dillon that the Packers would want. Lead back is not that role. 2nd and 1 is not that role. Nor is 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1. Maybe 3rd and 3. 3rd and 3, because you'll get us 2, and then we can find another way to get the 1. Yeah, I like that. After that, Tyron Hopper, as I mentioned, the linebacker out of Missouri. Evan Williams is a safety out of Oregon. He's going to go into that mix at safety where it's a completely new room, which we talked about a little bit ago. There's a lot of changes in that secondary room, specifically at safety, where a lot of guys of the past are long gone. I can't even remember them off the top of my head. Jacob Monk, they drafted him round 5, center, Duke. There's a lot of, these like, hey, what was the Packers' best value pick? A lot of people are going with Jacob Monk in that category. Packers certainly happy to get him. He did some work at the Senior Bowl, and the Packers kind of caught an eye to him.
Yeah, really. First of all, he's a really good player. He's very quick. He's very strong, powerful man. He can play guard. He can play center. So he's got the versatility that we like. He's a two-time captain. I think he started 50-some games there with the kind of the NIL and the COVID rules. So he's shown to be exceptionally durable over a long time at a position that's hard to be. So, yeah, just the more we got to know him as a person and then all the things coming out of there, was just he really felt like, you know, he was a fit for what we're trying to do, not only athletically and what he can do on the field, but just, you know, kind of the grit and determination that you have to have to be a really good player in that room.
And it was actually Travis Glover, the lineman from Georgia, that they saw at the Senior Bowl. Tim Shea, if you could edit that in post. But they still like Jacob Monk, no matter what I said. Tim, please make sure you edit this, please. Oladipo again, I mentioned Oladapo at safety. Travis Glover then, the offensive lineman. Seventh round, they took Kalen King. And then the one guy we haven't mentioned yet is Michael Pratt. They took a quarterback. They took a quarterback. Now, is he going to be better, have a better pro career than J.J. McCarthy? I think a lot of people have made that comparison. I saw that tweet going around. I don't know. But people seem to like this pick too. 6'2", 217 out of Tulane. Last year started 11 games, 65% completion rate, 2,400 yards, 22 touchdowns, 5 picks, and he did have 5 rushing touchdowns as well. So I don't know how much you caught Tulane. Usually I am a big daily fantasy guy, no matter what. This guy was still not on my radar, but he was on the Packers' radar, and he will probably serve as a backup to Jordan Love. Would you give it to him right away? Do you want a Sean Clifford in there? I mean, backup quarterback's an important position. I've been talking about this with the Falcons. It's an important position. It's okay to have a good backup quarterback. The Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt battle is going to feed families. Hat tip Grant in the preseason. Alex Magoo, remember him? USFL MVP. He was in the quarterback room earlier this week. Now he's going to be a wide receiver. Which I'd say it's tougher for him to make the team as a wide receiver than it is a quarterback, but it's probably the exact same chances of nil. So Pratt, a guy that they take, Michael Pratt, out of Tulane, he's a quarterback, so these picks always get a little more attention, which means I have both Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur talking about their new QB3.
Obviously a winner. He really turned that program around, started a lot of games for him. I think he won 21 or more games over the past 2 years. You know, he's a good athlete. He's got a pretty live arm, very accurate. Just kind of like the way he handled himself in the games that he played, had some big wins. We were excited. I mean, I wanted to add a quarterback. You know, a bunch of them went early, and so there wasn't a lot of guys available in the mid rounds. And as we got, you know, later and later, he was kind of the only one left that we really wanted to target, and we were able to get him, which was nice.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that he definitely is a tough, fearless thrower, and that's, to me, that's a prerequisite for the position. You got to be able to stand in there and throw in muddy pockets, throw in the face of pressure, and I think he exhibited that. I think he's a winner. So, you know, we were excited. We were kind of shocked that he was still there in the seventh.
So Matt LaFleur clearly, made all that up. He's got no idea who they drafted. Yeah. Oh, he's a, well, how would you answer a question about a quarterback? You have no idea. You've never seen him. Oh, he's a good thrower of the football. I mean, goodness, we know everybody that went in the first round and then nobody went until the fifth round with Spencer Rattler. So that'd have been a little different if the Packers got him. Jordan Travis going to the Jets. I think that's a good pick there. Joe Milton should be interesting in New England. Yes, they took Drake May. I don't think this is a competition anytime soon. This is a depth spot or a practice squad spot. Devin Leary then was the other quarterback that went besides Michael Pratt, the last quarterback taken. So good value. Many thought he'd be off the board by then, but you know, good value. And I think that's what you're looking for in the seventh round. Again, it'll be interesting to see. Sean Clifford had some moments. He had enough moments where people in towns under 1,200 wanted him to be the starter. I'm not saying anything. That's just the statistical facts. I did a breakdown. I am not saying anything. I actually did a study. I went town to town and found out that in population towns under 1,200, there was a lot more Sean Clifford vote than there was Jordan Love vote. That's all I am saying. They just liked him. So I don't know where Michael Pratt fits in, but we'll find out. So that's kind of a overview, along with Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, of who the Packers took, what they expect out of them, where they think they're going to land in the depth chart, and what to think going forward. Again, no cornerback until very late, no wide receiver. There was no need for one. They shored up defensively where they needed to. I think there's still some left to be desired, but I also think they had a good selection. This was a very Gutekunst draft. This is the draft that we know. Hey, there's a position you need. We're going to take three of these guys. Okay. There's a quarterback late. Sure. A running back. Of course. The position that we all think we really, really need. Oh, we'll take that at the very, very end. Very Gutekunst draft. Nothing different about this one than the other ones that we have seen in the past. And I think he has, for the most part, a pretty good track record on these kind of things. So we'll see how, again, how it all settles. And I don't think where the Packers were drafting, there was like one guy away. You know, get this guy. He's going to be a big impact guy right away. One guy away. We know that left tackle's been a problem. They can move guys around. But, you know, they don't want to run into a situation where an offensive lineman gets hurt and it inadvertently cost them two Super Bowls. So they went depth there. So good marks for me. I'll give them an A because I'm a fan, but I'll give them an A minus to just seem a little more critical. And that is the Into the Winklerverse Packer Draft Breakdown.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
And with a release date of Friday, May 3rd, it becomes the day that we've all been waiting for. Not quite. It'll be different on May 27th, Monday, Memorial Day. But Friday, May 3rd is the first time that the Brewers, outside of spring training, of course, will see the Chicago Cubs with their new manager, Craig Counsell. Now, this is going to be interesting. It's going to be stupid. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awful. And it's going to be great. I feel like early in the season, we were paying a lot of attention to the Cubs. As the season has gone on, maybe not so much. We've had our own things to deal with. Case in point, this week with the Milwaukee Brewers and everything that they will and were experiencing against the Tampa Bay Rays. This was a really dumb series in terms of like the dumb things that happened in it. It was a fun series. The Brewers won two of the games. They lost the first game 1-0 is obviously what I meant to say. And I said Milwaukee weird just a few seconds ago, but we powered through and pretend it didn't happen. And then on Tuesday night, they get the 8-2 win. On Wednesday, they get the 7-1 win, where my guy, Willie Adames, homered twice. I went to the game with Tim Shea, and I said when Willie came up, this guy sucks. I still have never liked this guy. They were up 2-0, and then he hit a solo shot that didn't end up mattering, is my point. My point is Willie shows up when it doesn't matter. Now, the Rays scored one run, and Willie Adames homered again, so he's got two more home runs that came in situations where they didn't necessarily need them. That's what I'm always saying about Willie Adames. It's nice to get those Dan Shaney insurance runs. We all know that. But did they need the home runs? No, and that's when Willie Adames usually hits his home runs. A lot of weird umpire stuff in this series, coming off a weekend where there's a lot of weird umpire stuff. The Aaron Judge situation where he just like puts his arms up for a touchdown, and if you hit one of his hands on the throw, I'm sorry, that's just on you, I guess. Monday night with the whole batter's interference garbage. Tuesday night with the whole Freddie Peralta situation. And Freddie, I like what he said. He says, I've given up enough home runs in my life. I don't retaliate. But that wasn't what the crew decided he was doing. No warnings were given, and they threw him out. You also had Abner Uribe, who did not look that great on Wednesday and was eventually sent down. But he had a suspension. Freddie essentially suspended one game. They lost Jose Siri for three games. And then Murphy is suspended for two games. So Ricky Weeks got his first win on Wednesday. I don't think it counts that way, though. At least it doesn't in high school soccer, because I had to coach for my dad one weekend, and I coached in a tournament. And we went 2-1, and my dad counts those wins on his record. I mean, technically, he is the coach. And I wasn't, like, hired as an interim coach. But also, I coach those games. Now, you could say that it's his team. He got them ready. You could say all of that. But I was the coach for those games. Do I not then have two wins as a high school coach? I feel like I do. I was the goalkeeper coach, and then I filled in. But I don't think that's how they do it. So Pat Murphy is not going to appeal, which means he's not going to manage in this first game of the Brewers-Cubs series, which is interesting. Did he not want to? Does he want to put some of the hoopla to bed? Did he not want to do the exchange on Friday? Because I've been all worried about this exchange, the lineup exchange. Now it'll be Ricky Weeks and Craig Counsell, and, you know, that'll be even weirder, I guess. If Counsell comes up for the exchange, if Ricky does. What I don't want to see is Murphy be all, like, glad-handing about Counsell. They can text each other after the game. They can get together before the game. They can have a private moment. They can, you know, hang out all weekend. They can, you know, commute together back to Milwaukee the next time they play. I don't care. I just don't want to see it. I don't want to see them being friendly in any way. I know the long storied relationship they have. I don't want to see it now. Maybe I'll want to see it later when Craig gets his, I don't know, seat of fame or whatever the Brewers give out. By the way, is nothing not sponsored at American Family Field? I mean, I'm all for sponsors, sure. You guys know I am. But it's like even the seats, every other seat was like insurance company, Brewers. It's like, we get it. We get it. You paid for the naming rights for the stadium. That doesn't mean every time I open my eyes, I need to see your logo. That's all I'm saying about that. Okay? That's just what I'm saying. Plus, I'm a Dan Shaney man. So, if Dan Shaney's head was all over the place, it'd be a different story. For sure. So, Murphy's not going to manage in this first game, which is interesting. It'll be different, but it will be a pretty wild series. The game is during the day. If you want to check out that Pato Sportsbook, this is not so much of a sponsor thing. It's just that I went there with Chuck this week, and that was really fun to hang out with Chuck. We had there was a table that we walked by, and they go, "Oh my God, it's Chuck Freeman!" And then another guy goes, "And Bart Winkler's with him." And they go, "We never thought you'd see each other together again." And I feel like that was planted. I feel like that was set up for us. Because that felt a little, that made us feel pretty good. That might have been a little too good to be true, I feel like. Speaking of the Brewers, I do have a voicemail from Marty the Beer Baron. He was upset on Monday's game. Wednesday, the roof was open, and it was pretty nice. I said close the roof, but Wednesday was pretty nice. Marty was there Monday, and the roof was closed, and he did not like it. And so he leaves the following voicemail on the sponsored Carl's Place voicemail line. carlovt.com/Bart, 402-915-BART.
Hey, Bart. This is the Beer Baron. Just calling with complaints of the Brewers here. Why is the roof closed tonight? It is 68 degrees. It's partly cloudy. It is a gorgeous day. I'm going to the ballpark. I turn the corner on the freeway, and lo and behold, the roof is closed. I don't understand what we're doing here. If this was a game at County Stadium, would we be canceling the game because it's not 70 degrees and sunny? Why is the roof closed? We need to get to the bottom of what the parameters are to require it to be open. Because this is a travesty that is on par with some terrible things I'm not going to get into right now. But I'm so fired up that this thing is closed. I don't know what to do. I'm beside myself. Winklerverse, we need to stick the Brewers an attack, Mark A. and Rick, and figure out what in the heck they're doing here. If it's too cold for some olds, then, you know, they need to go to the team store and buy a jacket. This is outrageous. I don't know what else to say. I'm speechless. Go Brewers.
I think it comes down to, the Brewers are trying to do whatever they can to make sure they get the most amount of people in the stadium. And you may be onto something, but I'm sure there's enough people that would say, let's go to the game tonight. Well, it's kind of chilly. Is the roof open? And it is. And they'll be like, nah, then I don't want to go. But if it's shut, they might go. Look, they $5 flash sale this series. Got 20,000 in there on Wednesday. I don't know what it was the rest of the week. And I think that's what it is. I'm also sure they don't want to hear people complain. And the amount of complaints, hey, the roof was closed. We'll bitch about it on here. But if the roof was open, oh, that guest services line would be all the way to Dippin' Dots. The ice cream of the future. So that's probably the result there. Brewers Cubs this weekend. We have that. So that will wrap up this podcast, this episode of Into the Winklerverse. Thanks, as always, for still putting this in your brain. You can always check out the YouTube channel as well. Like and subscribe on every platform to keep this train moving. All right. Thanks for coming into the Winklerverse. Have a great weekend.
The headlines remind us daily the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.